Oh, come on, that deserves a little applause, right? Thank you, choir. Thank you so much. So I'm going to begin just with a little story this morning, a little story about what I've been doing this past week. So some of you may know that over the summer, generally, we do a lot of entertaining at the Teeman Ranch, and we've lived there now for, well, going on 19 years, and the deck that we had is starting to rot, so we had it replaced. And the idea was to get it done in the spring so it's ready for the summer. And good news, it is all ready to go. However, when you ever get anything new, what then do? You change everything else as well, right? So we couldn't just have a new deck, but you have to have new deck furniture. So you know where this is going. So I ordered a set, a table, and some chairs. Being a little frugal, and after having spent more money on the deck than my budget allowed, we're trying to save a little money on the furniture. So I decided that I would put it together myself. Yeah. Scott, bad. I've seen you. Bad idea. You know exactly where this is going. So I could have bought something at one of the local furniture stores or a home improvement center, all put together and delivered, but I did not. So I began early in the week and started putting all of this together. It took me about 6 hours for the table. I know I'm slow. I get that. And about 2 hours each for the first two chairs. Remember, there are six. Had a deadline for Friday because our small group was meeting on Friday. I had to have it all completed by then. So what did I do? I rushed, and I didn't read the directions. And I thought, you know, a table is not that hard to put together. It has legs, and it shouldn't matter which leg goes where. After all, it's a table. But then I look at my legs, and I'm thinking, well, right leg probably wouldn't be so good on the left side now, would it? So I spent a couple extra hours changing the legs and putting them in the right place. The whole point is simply this. If we look at our notes this morning, this is what God's promise is for us. He says, I have come, Jesus has come, that you might have life. Life in all its abundance. He didn't come that you might have stress and frustration and anxiety, which is what so many of us have. Now, my little story was not that big of a deal. I'll probably only spend a little time in trauma, and I'll be okay. But for a lot of us, because life is rushed, because we jump from one thing to the next, because we make mistakes, and because we miss out on what is truly important, this life is not what God intends. So this morning, as we wrap up this whole series on eliminating hurry in our life, I want you to see a couple of things. Number one, rushing is never helpful, okay? Rushing is never helpful. Turn to the person next to you and say that rushing is never helpful. Can you do that? Unless, of course, you are running from a burning fire or a charging bear. Say that to your neighbor as well. Or not. Now, I don't know, Pastor Kirk. There are different kinds of bears. I'm told that you can outrun some bears. Is that right? So that probably doesn't help either. Just to say, rushing is never helpful. The fact is, we all know this. And yet, we continue to hurry. We know that emotionally, physically, certainly spiritually, rushing is never helpful. So why do we do that? Well, I think two reasons in particular. Number one, we think, and you can underline or circle that word, we think, and it's not necessarily true, we think we are more productive. We think we're more important, and we think we'll be more successful. When we began this study 4 or 5 weeks ago, what was the mantra, the thing that we always say when someone asks, "How are you?" Good but busy, right? Good but busy. To say, you know, my life is so impactful, so important. I'm doing so many things. Look at the thousands of things that I am doing. We think we're more important and we're more productive. You see, the second reason there is because we have been conditioned. Our society, our culture, our world tells us that busier and faster is better. Let me just take a little poll here, kind of like Joe did during the children's message. So you got to pay attention if you're going to raise your hand. Is it better to speed read a book or to slow down and absorb the words in the pages? Think about that. Or if you're listening to a song, whether it's on the radio or maybe you're listening to a podcast or something else, is it better to hang on the words and to sing along with the song or to speed it up so it's really, really fast? I mean, the choir could have done that this morning. You could have gone in double time. Which is better? Or if you're going on a walk or a hike through nature, is it better to sprint through the forest or up the mountain or around the lake, or to take it slowly and ponder and marvel at God's great creation? We may know that slower could be better, but for a lot of us, we believe that it's not truly realistic. I mean, come on, we have kids. You know how life goes when you have children. It's going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. We have jobs, important things to do. Got to get it done, got to get it done. Got to be productive. So maybe we're thinking that, yes, I'd like to slow down a little bit, but it's just not real. Well, this morning as we wrap up this whole thing, I want you to see that you can slow down. And you can savor the moments of life. And yes, still get everything done. Everything that's important, that is. Everything that's worthwhile, that is. And we're going to look again at the words of Jesus. He said, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" And the answer is, of course. Of course it is. We know that it is. So what we're going to do today is just concentrate for a few minutes on what is important. And then hopefully this carries with you into life. For if we concentrate on what is important, then everything else falls into place. As you see at the very end of Jesus' words, after we go through the birds and the lilies and the grass, Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all this other stuff, all the other stuff will be given to you as well. You see, as we rush through life, we might truly miss out on what is most important. Jesus has said that the Father even cares about those who don't listen to me. The Father cares about those who don't believe in me. But for you, don't worry about tomorrow. He's not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about today, because there are important things to do. But tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And isn't it true that each day has enough trouble of its own? Let's not make more. The truth is that moving quickly does get things done. We all know that. But slowing down gets the right things done. So you may think that when you're at your son's or your daughter's ball game, and you're on an important business call, and you say, I got to take this. I got to take this. And you get up and you take the call. And then your son or your daughter is up to bat, and you miss the double that they hit down the line. And you miss them stretch it into a triple as they slide into third. Or you might think it's important when you're driving in your car and you're taking your children after school back home and you're going through all those things that you still got to do. It's Wednesday. You have a deadline on Friday. And you're ticking it through your mind and you miss your little girl's story about how her best friend at school gave her this hug today. And eventually that little girl is going to grow up and she's going to get married and have a family of her own. And you miss the moment. And a lot of you think that it's just normal to text at dinner time. That's what we all do. But you wonder why your relationship with your spouse isn't as intimate as it once was. Or maybe you think that it's important to work in the yard on Saturday and get all those weeds pulled. Or you have that other project that's been nagging at you for weeks and weeks. And you miss your devotion time. Or maybe even worship. How do we apply this most important, this critical principle to our lives today? And how can we truly live with joy? Because that's what Jesus said. He said, I've come to bring you this life that is full and abundant. How do we focus on what is truly important? I hope you've picked up the book by John Mark Comer. It's an amazing book, a wonderful book. It's got literally hundreds of suggestions, which is a few too many for me. So let's break it down into these three. Number one, just slow down. Take your time. You heard about the birds or the trees. You ever seen a frantic tree or the grass? Doesn't worry about whether the sun's going to come up or there's enough rain. So slow down. You see, the truth is some things can wait till tomorrow. It doesn't all have to get done today. Some things can wait till next week. Some things can wait till next month. Some things can wait till next year. Some things never, ever need to be done at all. So slow down. Secondly, simplify your life. Make that list of what truly is important to you. And here's the deal. As we simplify, the important things, they kind of emerge. And the rest, well, they just kind of fade into the background. And then I want to use a word that Pastor Kirk uses a lot. Abide. Abide. What does that mean to abide? Well, it's the analogy you gave last week was so helpful with the hub and the spokes, if you remember that. When God is at the center of everything that we do. So live from a center of abiding with God. It's just the practice of the presence of God, just noticing that He is here, that He is with you, that He lives in you, that He surrounds you, that He goes with you in all that you do. Now, over these last 4 weeks or so, we've talked about silence and solitude. We talked about Sabbath. We've talked about simplifying, and today, slowing. But I want you to see that these practices are not the goal. Can you say that to the person next to you? These practices are not the goal, right? But they are the means to our goal. And so the end goal is not silence and solitude. You don't have to join a monastery. You don't have to take a sabbatical for a week out in the wilderness. The goal is to come back to God. In our true self, to live that abundant life that God promises in Jesus. And the goal isn't even Sabbath, although it's a wonderful practice. But it's a restful, a grateful life of appreciation for all that God has done. To wonder and marvel at this universe, this life that He's given to us, and to worship on a Sunday or a day of the week, but truly every day and every moment to glorify our God. The goal is not simplicity, but it's freedom from the chaos of life. And it's a focus on what is truly important. And the goal isn't slowing necessarily, but to be present. First with God, but also with the important people in your life. And to savor the moment. And in all of this, the goal isn't even the practice. Or I should say the goal is the practice and not the perfection. Because you're not going to get it right. I don't get it right. I mean, remember my story about putting all those things together? I didn't get it right. It did get done, by the way. I got to finish my story. Because I was whining at church like I do. And the staff knows about my whining. So John Gray heard about my whining. And so he came over and finished the other four chairs in the third of a time that it took me to do the whole thing. God is good, and there is a special place in heaven for John Gray, just so you know. Here's the point. The goal is to practice, because we're not going to get it right. It is not perfection. Only God is perfect. You are not. I am not. None of us are. So give yourself a little grace when you mess up, when you fall back into that life of hurry, when you aren't doing the right things or even doing the right things right. The goal is practice in every day to get into that rhythm. So, here's my prayer for you. By God's grace, I pray for you as I do for myself that we might have a reasonably happy life. And I say reasonably because we live in a fallen world and it's not going to be perfect and we're not going to get it right every single day. We're going to mess up and we're going to feel badly about it. But give yourself some grace. Take a moment and savor your relationship with God. Think about what He has done for you, how He gave up His life so that this life does not become the most important, though it is meant to be filled with life in abundance. But ultimately, because of what Christ has done, as you take the time to savor his goodness, that you would be supremely happy in the next life, because you will be with Jesus forever. Amen. Amen.
At this time, we're going to be walking.